be with you in a second. Don't they go on?
No, no.
No. I did press the button.
Am I on? Yes. Good morning, everyone. May I follow in that hallowed tradition of dog collars that stand at the front and say things like, I'm not the vicar of this church. I would have thought everyone here knew who the vicar of this church was anyway, sitting here in the front row. My name is Bob Cutler and I'm a retired priest, but as you can see from what I'm doing this morning, not totally retired. Well, as we all know, Christmas is coming. This evening we have our traditional carol service. We have Christmas trees, baubles hanging on them, presents given and received, a baby born. Most of the world sends Christmas cards covered in things like robins and snow, but never a mention of a baby being born, which is, of course, what Christmas is all about. Later on, there was angels, shepherds, and later on, wise men, gold, frankincense, and myrrh they brought as presents for this baby. In the midst of all this, I have received a request to preach on a sermon with a very strange sermon title. Christmas is about sacrifice. Is it? One thing we do know, before Jesus was born here on earth, he lived in eternity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. We remember that Christmas hymn or carol. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And I feel almost with that brilliant clip that you showed that there's no need for a sermon. I think that clip has said it all. But never mind. I've got something here, so I better deliver it. First of all, let's think. And we, brilliant songs, I don't know who chose them, but they absolutely line up with the theme, Christ in Glory. And we've been singing about seeing Christ's glory. In heaven, of course, there is the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We call that the Trinity. One God, three persons, but not three people. Do you not understand this? You're in good company, neither do I. Because let's face it, none of us will fully understand until we see God face to face. We believe it because God has revealed himself to us in that way. Jesus was here doing the works of God. He prayed to his Father in heaven, and at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. There is the threeness of the one God. It's the way God has revealed himself, and not least in Jesus' birth and ministry. Jesus was born as a man, but not as an ordinary man. This caused people to ask, as he went about healing people and giving sight to the blind and many other things, great things, works of God, caused people to ask, who then is this? For example, that even the wind and the waves obey him. You remember he was in the boat and the great storm came and Jesus stood up and said, peace, be still. He has power over even the weather, the storm, the wind and the waves. So much so that John says at the beginning of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus was there at creation. It was through Jesus that the whole of creation was made. Do you, like me, really enjoy television programs about astronomy and the discoveries of the different suns and galaxies? And someone is laughing here. You don't like it. Oh, someone is shivering here, I think.
It scares me.
Scares you. But do you know what? I sometimes imagine, I used to imagine, I'd like to be the first chaplain to the moon. But as I imagine myself doing an extra vehicular walk, you know how these spacemen come out, where, yes, someone over there is holding his head, where there's all the stars above. But all the stars over there, and there, and there, and all the stars under your feet which aren't resting on anything. It is scary. It certainly is. But it's also wonderful. This is the world, the universe, that God has made through Jesus. All this came into being. There is a book in the New Testament called Hebrews. It's a letter to Jewish Christians. We don't know who wrote it. But it's there in our Bible. And in chapter 1 it says, "In these last days God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe." Just stop a second. Through him he made the whole universe. We're now beginning to pick up pictures of galaxies from near the beginning of the Big Bang. And that's billions of years ago. Jesus was there creating the universe. "The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." What wonderful things, astounding stuff. Christ was there at creation. Through him all things were made. He is the exact representation of God's being. That means if you want to see God, then look at Jesus. Because Jesus was sent to show God to us on earth. And yet he was a man. That's amazing. And Christ sustains all things by his powerful word. A writer that many of us know, Christian writer, he's died now, sadly, called C.S. Lewis. And he wrote, gave an image of what this meant, that Christ sustains all things by his powerful word. He says, imagine you're watching a cricket match on television, preferably not the test matches in Australia at the moment. But imagine you're looking at a cricket match. And as the bowler bowls the ball towards the batsman, imagine there that the power was turned off. And he points out, it isn't that the picture would just simply stop and freeze. The whole picture would simply disappear. Now, that's a very crude example of how Jesus is holding the whole universe, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That if Jesus withdrew his power from the universe wouldn't simply stop. It would all disintegrate and disappear. Because it only exists here. We are only existing because Jesus' powerful word is keeping us, keeping the whole world, the whole universe in existence. Isn't that amazing? This is Jesus. When you are shown the wonders of creation, you are looking at Jesus's handiwork. So as the astronomers say, look at this galaxy, look at this constellation, we can say, I'm looking at what Jesus has made, or through him all things were made. But we're not able to see Jesus as he is in eternity, because at the moment we can't see into eternity. But we are shown in Scripture hints of Jesus, how he really is in eternity. For instance, you remember the account of Jesus' going up the mountain with a few of his disciples, and he was transfigured. And it says this in Mark chapter 9. Jesus led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Suddenly, they saw him in his glory. Again, in Revelation chapter 1, this is the passage we had read to us. The man, John, who wrote this book, said he heard a great voice behind him, and he turned and he saw someone standing there like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. What a picture. Now, we can't believe that this is an exact thing we would see in heaven. I think it would be very difficult for someone to walk around with a dead great sword in his mouth. But this is what he's saying. This is Jesus in his glory. This is Jesus showing himself as he truly is. When he came to earth, born amongst us, a lot of that glory was hidden until he revealed it in healings and in his teaching. The image of Jesus in glory, Christ, powerful, glorious. Can you imagine looking on him in his eternal glory? One day we will, but that's conditional. And that came up in our clip too. I'm so glad it was there. It's conditional upon us yielding up our lives to him in this world. So long as we are not mere churchgoers, but we are people who have said, Lord, you are my Lord, my Saviour, I give my life to you. Then, Jesus says, then I give you eternal life and you'll live with me forever. We shall know as we are known. I've modified that a bit to add, we shall see as we are seen in eternity. This is Christ as he has always been in eternity. But at Christmas, we remember that he came down to earth as a human being. Do you understand that? No? Neither do I. It's too great a thing. I accept it, I fully believe it, because God has shown it through his word in Scripture. This is what he tells us. So that's Christ in glory. Let's have a look at the environment on this earth into which Jesus was born. All of the glorious person of Christ was born as a human baby. That's amazing. That's mind-blowing. Do you understand this? Neither do I. The angels could not stay away from this earth-shattering event. You remember they appeared in heaven. It's rather like when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem at the end of his life, and the crowds were shouting, Hosanna in the highest. And the Pharisees and others said, stop them shouting like that. And he said, if I stop them, even the stones on the ground would cry out. It had to be, because here was the King of Glory entering Jerusalem, and here is the King of Glory being born as a human being. So, what was the state of the world he was born into? We know something of that. Let me remind you of something from thousands of years ago. Noah, you remember the story? Before the flood came, The reason the flood came was because God had made a judgment about this earth. And this is what he said. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of human hearts was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. That sounds extreme, doesn't it? And it is extreme. God is regretting that he has made us. But then look at the news. Look at the persecution. Look at the murdering of people when the murderers feel that no one is watching. Look at the various injustices in the world. Just seen on the news this morning that there is an election for a new party leader in the African National Congress. And the chances are whoever is elected will become president of the Republic of South Africa. And there was a suggestion made that the present president, who is stepping down, wants his wife to be made president so that she could, what's the word, forgive him. There's a proper word for this, isn't there? She would wipe out, what's the word?
Pardon.
She would pardon all the things he'd done wrong. Is that cynical? It is. But this is our world. But then look at our world here. Do you ever watch EastEnders? I trip over it by accident every now and again. I get some cynical chuckling from over here. But I don't watch it either. But I have switched on, and it happens to be come up on the television, and I look at it, and all I see are people having a go at each other. This is our world, and if you speak to the people who write the scripts and act in it, they will say, well, this is just the world we live in. Is that good? Definitely not. So, instead of God's resolve to destroy everything totally, he sent his son to be the saviour of the world. Saviour means rescuer. So here we have Christ in glory, and here we have the environment on this earth into which Christ was born. And so thirdly, let's have a look at Christ born on earth. It was not just that he was born and laid to sleep in an animal enclosure full of bugs and diseases. That's bad enough. But he was born into a world of jealousy, prejudice, conflict, self-centeredness. It was so bad that his family had to flee to Egypt. What a contrast to the eternity he came from. Not only that, during his ministry, he had huge opposition to what he was doing. He was doing the work of God, healing, curing people, teaching the word of God, and people opposed him. They hated it. Even from amongst his closest advisors, his closest followers, Judas was, we know what that name means, don't we? There was Judas also, opposing him. His life ended on the cross, not just the physical pain of crucifixion, but the immense pain of bearing the sins of the world. This is Jesus giving himself up. This is the sacrifice that he underwent. Christmas is about sacrifice. What sacrifice to come from heavenly adoration to in eternal to come from heavenly adoration in eternal purity. And as we read just a moment ago, Paul writing, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, Christ in glory, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. We know that. He walked around almost disguised in plain sight. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Christmas is about sacrifice, not just at Easter, but the sheer fact of his coming amongst us and being born was a huge sacrifice for him. Could you imagine the smell in his nostrils as he entered this world? The stench of sin, of self-centeredness, and all these other things. To have to live in a world of sin, but his aim was to provide the way out. So let us this Christmas think on what it cost Christ to enter our world as one of us, to provide a way out from this sinful world, to become children of God in eternity. That's where we're going if we have put our lives into his hands and say, Lord, you are my Lord. I am your servant. I will serve you now, right through to eternity. And so he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking after your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. This is the sacrifice of Christmas. Let's pray. We worship you, Lord. You did all this for us. In one sense, from one side, there was no need for this to happen. Of course, there was a need, because you were in glory. You were living as Jesus, the Son of God, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God in eternity. So, Lord, we praise you that you chose, according to your Father's will, but your own will also, to come down and be one of us, one with us, and to sacrifice your life that we might be released from this world of sin and being taken with you into glory when you come again. So, Lord Jesus, we offer our lives up to you. Take us and use us as you will, and glorify your name in our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come before you today, on this Sunday, so close to Christmas, we ask you to prepare us for your coming. You promised, through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith,